Good morning. Welcome to Christ the King. Our opening hymn is number 721 in the hymnal, number 721.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Happy Sunday, everyone. We gather on this 25th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Jesus again reminds us of his call that he must be handed over, suffer on the cross, and then be raised on the third day. The apostles still in the gospel don't understand this, but Jesus encourages them to be humble, to become childlike, and to accept that yoke and those challenges that God the Father puts in front of us. Brothers and sisters, we too in our daily lives are invited to have that same humility and to accept the will of God each and every day. So as we gather for these sacred mysteries, let us acknowledge our sins, asking God for his mercy and forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask the Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
We give
Let us pray. O God, who founded all the commands of your sacred law upon love of you and of our neighbor, grant that by keeping your precepts, we may merit to attain eternal life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. The wicked say, "Let it be said, the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He set himself against our doing, reproaches us for our transgression of the law, and charges us with the violation of our training. Let us see whether his word to be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, God will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. With revilement and torture, let it put the just one to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to his own word, God will take care of him." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. James. Beloved, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconstancy or insincerity. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, for those who cultivate peace. Where do war and where do the conflict among you come from? It is not from the passion that make war within your member, but you covet, but you do not possess. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask but do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend on it on your passion. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I can't do everything, but I can do something. That which I can do, I ought to do, and what I ought to do by the grace of God, I will do. This is a quote from legendary Notre Dame football coach Lou Holtz. He would try to instill this in his players each and every year to get them to focus on what they could control on the football field and for their teammates. To realize that each season or even each particular game wasn't all dependent on one of them, that they couldn't do everything. Even he as the coach couldn't do everything. But each of their jobs was to simply figure out what they could do. To know that they could contribute in some way to the success of their team. And so those things that they could do, that they should choose to do. Right? This could go from anything from working out and staying in shape in the off season to accepting the things they couldn't control, like what the other team did or what plays they called, whether the refs called things in their favor or made bad calls against them. None of these things so much mattered. It was all about what they chose to do, if they would choose to endure and sacrifice for the good of the team or not. It wasn't just about what they can do, but about what they chose to do. That would determine the success, not only of their football season, but I think Lou Holtz would say their future as men. To be good adults, they needed to be able to choose who they were going to be. Realize they couldn't control everything, but they had to do the things that they could. I think Jesus is giving his apostles and us in today's gospel a very similar call. And if you remember last Sunday, it starts with Peter proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then Jesus tells him that basically he has to be handed over to the scribes and Pharisees, be killed, and be raised on the last day. But Peter rejects that and he says, no, Jesus, you'll never do that. I'll never let that happen. And I think in that moment, Peter's assuming that Jesus is allowing somebody else to have more power than him. Then somehow, the scribes and Pharisees and the Roman authorities, they were forcing this upon Jesus. That there was this bad outcome, this thing Peter didn't want to happen, and Jesus couldn't do anything about it. But instead, in today's gospel, Jesus wants to show them, again, that he has to suffer and die, that he's going to die on the cross, but it's not because of somebody else doing it to him. Instead, the cross and his obedience is something that he chooses to do. I think in the words of Lou Holtz, that Jesus sees the cross as the thing he can do for our salvation. Not forced upon him that he has no hope against it, but instead that he says, I will willingly choose this. I will choose to undergo this suffering and pain out of love for the world. So if that's what Jesus is doing, if he's freely choosing the cross, he's instructing the 12 that they have to find a way to do the same. To be like children, to humbly accept the will of the Heavenly Father. Not to seek to be the first, the most important, but instead to do the things that make them the servant of all. When St. Ignatius of Loyola talks about humility in his spiritual exercises, he gives three different levels of humility. He says if we want to be perfect like Christ, we have to reach the third and deepest level of humility. But just to be saved in order to have any chance of reaching heaven, we have to at least get the first level of humility. That in its most basic, St. Ignatius says, humility is just accepting that God is God and we are not. Except that he is bigger, more powerful than us. He is our creator. He knows what's best for us. And so we will choose not to break any of his commandments. That we won't commit any mortal sin. Again, this is a first level of humility that we need to accept that God is God and we are not. But I think St. Ignatius is saying that's not the way Jesus was obedient to him. That's not the way that Jesus was humble. Sure, he knew God was bigger than him, but it wasn't out of fear that he submitted to God's commandments and his law. The second level is a little bit deeper, to desire not to commit any venial sins, to be okay with poverty rather than riches, to be okay with difficult circumstances in our life, and even then not to do anything that might offend the Lord. Again, this is a deeper level of humility, not seeking to commit those venial sins, but it's mostly out of a fear for the consequences. We're afraid what might happen to us here on earth, or we fear eternal damnation. But the deepest level of humility, the one that is most Christ-like, is to imitate and in reality be like Christ, so that I desire and choose poverty with Christ who was poor, rather than riches. That I desire and choose insults with Christ rather than honors. That I desire and choose to be accounted worthless and a fool for Christ rather than to be esteemed as wise and prudent in the world. And I think the shift that makes it more Christ-like more than those first two levels is we can see humility as something that we just have to do. It's just forced upon us and we try our best to make sense of it and do it. But we never really choose it. We never go out of our way to do things that make us more humble. Just know that sometimes we'll fail and we'll experience that humility because of the challenges of life. St. Ignatius is saying, Christ went out and chose poverty. Chose obedience and chastity, not just because they're good things that would make him more holy, but because that was how he became humble. To not do those things because he was forced, but actually to choose them. To see that in each of those things, it was some way that he could grow closer to Christ. Put himself more under the mantle of our Heavenly Father. Not doing it all himself, but but instead relying on God's providence. That's ultimately what he wants to teach his apostles that the cross is going to be. Not something that's just forced upon him, but that he chooses freely. That even in great suffering and seeming abandonment from the world, the Heavenly Father will provide for him. That even then he can be humble so that God can be shown in him. Brothers and sisters, I think that's the call for us today. Is to seek to be humble in a similar way so that the light of Christ can shine forth through us. When we look at the lives of the saints, that's what the people around them were so amazed by. Think of St. Teresa of Calcutta, traveling all the way from Albania to the slums of India, caring for the poor and the dying, those that were rejected from society. And yet when people encountered her, they were shocked so much by her joy and the love she had for these forgotten people. And I think she would say that wasn't for her benefit, that wasn't anything that she did particularly well, but that was actually the love of God being shown to others through her. That she could decrease and our Lord could increase. That's why we go out of our way to choose poverty, chastity, and obedience. It's why we choose those things that put us down and humble us so that Christ can be shown forth better in our lives. So that we can be like children of our Heavenly Father. Not trying to do it all on our own, but relying fully on him. It's one thing I think we can miss in today's gospel, that we see children as something beautiful and joyful and that brings so much to our lives, and that's true. At the time of Jesus, children were really just people that needed other people. Right? They were very dependent on their parents and others to give them food and to protect them. So Jesus is really telling the apostles and the whole crowd that they need to become little. They need to become dependent, not on other humans, but on our Heavenly Father. Brothers and sisters, when we see ourselves choosing poverty, giving up the things of the world for the life of heaven, when we go out of our way to choose chaste love, not using others for ourselves, but pouring ourselves out as Christ did on the cross, when we freely choose obedience, accepting the will of God rather than our own desires, in all those ways, we start to become his children. We start to do something that leads us on the path to humility and the life of God. Brothers and sisters, in this Mass, let us pray that we can see that we don't have to do all of that in one day, but that we can do something. Each day we can choose the path of humility, lowering ourselves through poverty, chastity, and obedience. That in those little expressions of trust, we will become children of our Heavenly Father. That when others see us, they won't need to praise us for our talents and abilities and what we accomplish. Instead, in all that we do, they will see the love of our Heavenly Father. They will see that we're children of another kingdom. And that little by little, day after day, choice after choice, we can bring the love of his kingdom here to this earth.